prayer to praise. Well, I have 10 men, actually the Bible has 10 men who are eager to give us a lesson. And their lesson is found in the Gospel of Luke, Luke chapter 17, beginning at verse 11. So let's learn how to develop a grateful heart of praise. So Luke 17, verse 11 says this. Now on his way to Jerusalem, Jesus traveled along the border between Samaria and Galilee. As he was going into a village, 10 men who had leprosy met him. They stood at a distance and called out in a loud voice, "Jesus, Master, have pity on us." When he saw them, he said, "Go show yourselves to the priests." And as they went, they were cleansed. One of them, when he saw he was healed, came back praising God in a loud voice. He threw himself at Jesus' feet and thanked him. And he was a Samaritan. Jesus asked, "Were not all 10 cleansed? Where are the other 9? Was no one found to return and give praise to God except this foreigner?" Then he said to him, "Rise and go. Your faith has made you well." Well, let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. You know how much we need it. So, Father, encourage us, train us, instruct us from this, refine us, and grant us a heart that really adores, thanks, and praises you for your grace, for your mercies. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, these 10 men that I said would be a good example for us this morning, a good lesson to us, they all knew who to turn to for help. They had learned of Jesus' reputation for healing people. And all 10 of them came to Jesus, and in a loud voice, notice what they say, "Jesus, Master," in other words, "You are a king, you are a Lord, have pity on us." And they were cleansed from their disease, all 10 of them. Lepers were people with a contagious skin disease. They lived in colonies with other lepers. And if they came close to uninfected people, they had to shout a warning to say, "Unclean, unclean," so that nobody would accidentally come in contact with a leper and catch whatever skin disease they had. So calling out in a loud voice was something they were used to. In the past, it was for concern for others that they shouted "unclean" in a loud voice, but now they're shouting for their own need. And they're shouting with mercy, seeking mercy from Jesus. "Jesus, have pity on us. We want to go back to our families. We want to shop in the markets. I want to feel my arms and my legs again. We're such a mess. Help us, Jesus. You can help us." So the first step that you can take in developing a grateful heart is to exercise your faith in Jesus. Just like the 10 lepers, turn to Jesus for your needs. Now you might be thinking, what does faith have to do with being thankful to God? Well, listen to Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6. It says this, "Without faith, it's impossible to please God. Because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him." So faith teaches us to direct our thanks to God, the giver and source of every good gift. The more you exercise your faith in seeking God, the more reasons you'll have to give him thanks. When God was drawing me to himself, I was 20 years old. I was working in Sheboygan, Wisconsin, living with my parents in between on summer break from college. And I was getting so much out of reading the Bible at night, I didn't want to go to sleep. I wasn't saved yet, didn't quite understand the whole gospel, but I had this relationship with God that was precious. And I remember asking him, "Don't let me sleep through my alarm tomorrow morning." Because I want to spend some more time praying and reading the Bible at night. So I would walk to work and had given up my car for the summer. I was trying to save money. And I would have been late. And a fellow that always drove past me in his little Honda never picked me up before, always went to work the same place I worked at, picked me up that day. And nobody else could have said, that's just a coincidence, Jerry, or he just had pity on you that day. I looked at that and I thought, this was an answer to prayer. It wasn't a coincidence. And for the first time as a young person, even though I prayed as a Roman Catholic, and I really felt the God of the universe heard my prayers. And I was stunned, and I thought, I'm going to pray more. I'm going to seek his face more. I'm going to look to him for more things. Now that I know that the God of the universe stoops to hear Jerry Neumeyer in little old Sheboygan, Wisconsin, a kid who had been pretty wayward, pretty rough life. So the more you exercise your faith in seeking God, the more reasons you'll have to thank him. I thanked him for that ride, and there were many, many more things I asked, and he granted, and I thanked him for as well. And the opposite is true. If you lack faith in Jesus, you won't pray. And guess what? If you don't pray, James says, that's why you probably don't receive. You've got to ask the Lord. Picture this for a second. If the leopards had no faith in Jesus, they would have stayed home. Why bother going through the crowds? Why bother seeking out Jesus? Some of them, if they didn't have faith, probably would have called him a fraud. If we don't pray, Jesus won't answer. And if Jesus doesn't answer, what would you be thankful to him for? Another lesson on thankfulness is found in Romans 1. Paul says this, since the world was created, God has revealed his invisible qualities, his power through his mighty acts of creation. You look at mountains. Who made them? God did. You look at the Great Lakes. Who made them? Lord Jesus did. I can remember when my kids were little, even my grandkids, we used to do this too. Look at the moon in the summertime or even in the winter, taking walks with the kids. What is that? And my little ones would say, the moon. And who made the moon? Jesus did. Jesus made the moon. But even though mankind, Paul goes on in Romans 1, he says, knows that God made all those things who he is, human beings did something very despicable. They refused to honor him as their God or to give him thanks. That's why Thanksgiving is so important. God was seeking thanksgiving. We are born ungrateful rebels. We are born thankless God deniers. That's what Romans 1 says. And so in his anger, God curses them. God hands them over to all kinds of sins and enslaves them. He says their minds that reject God's truth become useless and foolish as they live in darkness that they themselves have created. Atheists live in a bubble, a dark bubble. It keeps blocking out the light of God's word, the truth and creation all around them. And to give God thanks would be like opening the curtains in a totally darkened room. Atheists can't thank God for anything because then their fake make-believe world would get exposed. There is no God. He's not good because if there is a God, why would he allow all these tragedies to happen? That's why they don't give thanks to God. They find fault with God. They accuse God. They reject God. They exchange the truth about God for a lie. If that's you or if that's one of your loved ones, I would plead with you. God can open your eyes. He can change your heart. He can give you the gift of faith. I know he did that for me. All the 10 lepers had strong faith in Jesus' ability to heal. And they were all blessed for exercising their faith in Jesus. They're an example to us. So exercise your faith in Jesus if you want a grateful heart. But secondly, you've got to guard your heart. This is important for us as Christians. Jesus told the lepers, he says, go show yourselves to the priest. Does that sound strange to any of you when you read that? I know probably the first time I ever read this passage, it really sounded strange to me. They asked for help, and now he said, go to the priest. It's kind of like, is he kind of passing the buck and telling them to go somewhere else? Is Jesus saying the priests are going to cleanse you? I'm not going to cleanse you. Jesus, how are the priests going to help us? Well, you need to understand Old Testament Jewish priests. they were like the health department of our day. If he had a disease, the priest determined if he had to be quarantined. We won't look at it this morning, but you can look this up on your own. Leviticus 13, that chapter talks about the priests. They did not heal, but they examined, and they had to determine whether or not someone was contagious or not. In the first part of that chapter, it talks about that role of examining whether something on the surface of the skin was contagious and the person had to be put outside the camp. Verses 45 through 46 says if they're contagious, they were to determine whether, again, there was quarantine required or not. So here these 10 men are going on to the priest, the health department, to be declared, to be examined and declared healthy. They're still covered with sores on their way, but before they arrive to the health department, their skin all of a sudden becomes just like baby fresh, baby new, miraculously cleansed and restored to normal. Now here's the question I have for you this morning. If you were one of those lepers, what would you do? Give you two choices, okay? Multiple guess, multiple question. A, would you go on to the priest so that you could be admitted back into society? The quarantine's been lifted. Remember the ban with COVID and everything else? Everybody was shut in, right? Would you just say, I want to get the ban lifted. I want to get rid of these torn clothes. I want to get a haircut. I want to see old friends. I want to hang out at the mall. Or would you choose B? And B is, would you go back first and thank Jesus and then go to the health department? Which would you choose? Where would your heart have been? Only one out of the 10 chose B. Only one of the 10 returned first to thank Jesus and then go to the health department. And look at the way he thanked Jesus. He threw himself at the Lord's feet. Reminds me of the Gospels, the story of a prostitute that threw herself at Jesus' feet, wetting his feet with her tears and drying them with her hair. She loved him so much because he had said her sins, which were many, were totally forgiven. Her gratitude showed in those actions. Well, there's nothing half-hearted or held back about the leper's thanks. When was the last time you didn't hold back your expression of thanks to God? Some of us, it may have been a while, maybe too long. Maybe today would be a good day to go home and Psalm 103 says, don't forget all of his benefits. Think of all the things he's done for you. Maybe you need to do some rehearsing of the good things God has done so that you cannot hold back but give him thanks and praise for his kindness and mercy towards you. So if you want to develop a grateful heart, guard your heart against self-interest. So here's what I mean. Whenever God answers your prayer, make it a point to thank him right away. I'm guilty of this. I bet many of you are too. Let's just say you're taking a trip and you're praying for safety. Well, we'll pray for safe travels, right? Well, when you get to your destination, you didn't have a car breakdown, you didn't have an accident, nobody got sick in the car. Did you stop and say, Jesus, thank you? You answered our prayers. We oftentimes ask for many things, but when God comes through, do we kind of, I'm on to my next thing. I want to get to my destination and have fun. I want to go fishing. I want to see my relatives. And I forget about saying, thank you, Jesus. It is so easy to do. But God is waiting, just like Jesus was with those men. Where are the other nine? Weren't they cleansed? Of course they were. Then why aren't they here thanking too? God is waiting for our thanksgiving. Can you picture Jesus waiting for your thanks? Guard your heart that you know, I need to make time to thank him. I got to guard my heart from wanting to get on to the next thing. This is important to thank Jesus. So what was more important to the other nine that they didn't give thanks? Perhaps it would have been, I want to be in the arms of a wife. being a leper, I haven't kissed my wife in a long time, couldn't live with her. Or maybe hugging a child that you haven't lived with for months. And you are running to the priest. You want to get back home to your family. Where are they? Doesn't mean that you shouldn't enjoy those gifts, but he's saying gratitude should come first before you get on with life. When God answers your prayers, don't be selfish. Stop what you'd like to do next and first thank him. So, slight shift, still about your heart. Second area you need to guard your own heart is against taking God for granted. Of the 10 lepers, the only one who returned was who? Samaritan. You know what a Samaritan is, right? They were not full-blood Jews. They had intermarried after the exile, and the full-blooded Jews looked down on them. They were the half-breeds. They were unfaithful in their minds. Jesus even calls them foreigners. The 9 who didn't return with praise to God were God's covenant children. I want that to sink in for a minute. God's children didn't think it was fitting to give God thanks, but an outsider did. The Samaritan didn't expect that he deserved this healing, so when he was healed, he went back and thanked. The other 9, full-blooded Jews. But we expect this. We ask God, he gave it, so we expect it. God owes us this. You know, it's not wrong to expect God to answer your prayers. We should have confidence. Book of Hebrews says that, come before his throne with boldness, knowing that God hears your needs and will meet them. But there is a dangerous attitude that I feel God owes it to me and therefore I don't give him thanks. It's almost like saying God's in my debt because he's made a promise. No, those promises were undeserving and they're gracious and they deserve thanksgiving. You know, most Jews felt God owed them blessings because after all, they were descendants of Abraham. A blood lineage, right? A genealogy. All because of that, Abraham was a man God made some awesome promises to, not because Abraham was worth it or godly or righteous, but because God was merciful. But the descendant Jews felt like, no, this is where we're in. We don't need to be grateful. We deserve this as a blood right, as a genealogical right. How often do we as Christians maybe take God for granted just like the Jews did? Well, I'm a Christian. I prayed. Well, then I should get what I've asked for. Well, sometimes when we do, have you thanked him for it? Have you taken him for granted? You know, even though God answers thousands upon thousands of his children's prayers, let your heart be humble. Maintain the attitude, I don't deserve such kindness from God. If you lose that humility, arrogance will replace gratitude in your heart. You won't give God the thanks. I love radio host Dave Ramsey in response when callers ask how he's doing. I bet many of you know his little catch line there. Better than I deserve. Is that a motto that you can say? Is that a truth you can say about your own life? Or do we grumble and complain? And really, it's about God and his providence and his kindness to us as a father, right? Well, I should have this, or this isn't going right, or better than I deserve. Sounds like the attitude of the Samaritan. I didn't expect this. I asked for it, but this is so gracious. Thank you, Jesus. Do you know, if you really tried hard, I bet if any of you kids here today really tried hard to say, I'm going to be the most perfect Thanksgiving person on planet Earth. I'm going to be humble. I'm going to guard my heart. I'm always going to thank him. You know, you could actually still miss out on one of God's best gifts ever, the greatest gift he ever offers. The 10 lepers knew they were physically unclean. But I don't think they knew that they were morally unclean before a holy and just God. They knew something about Jesus. He could heal the body. He could change things. But did they know that he could change a sinful heart, a dirty mind, the internal stuff? Because we are so polluted. He can't let lepers into heaven. I mean, a spiritual leper, a sinful leper. When the prophet Isaiah in the Old Testament, Isaiah 6, saw God in his temple, angels were shouting, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord Almighty." And what did Isaiah do? He fell and he felt doomed. He says, "Woe am I, for I'm a man of unclean lips." Just like the lepers would shout, "Unclean, unclean." And he's saying to God and to the angels, "I'm unclean. I've got leper lips. I curse with my lips. I gossip with my lips. I hurt people with my tongue." Who's going to rescue a spiritual leper like me? Who can cleanse and wash me from all my awful sins? It's the same Jesus. The one who could physically heal a leper. That miraculous sign was to prove to us that Jesus could do far more than just cleanse the skin. He can cleanse the soul, cleanse your heart, wash you from all the wrongdoing you've done, and pay for your sins. God gave the blood of his own sinless son to save you from something worse than leprosy. Eternity of separation from God. Not just being put out of the camp, but being sent to hell where you would not be able to live with God forever and ever and ever. So thank God for the cross. Thank God for the ransom that Jesus paid for you. Thank God for redeeming you. If that's confusing to you this morning, I hope you'll talk to one of the elders or myself afterwards. We really want you to understand what Jesus has done. Brothers and sisters, there's a lot we can be thankful for. Today at your meal, I'm sure you're going to give thanks to God for that. Thank God for your job or for your retirement. Thank God for your home, your family. Thank God for your country. Praise God from whom all blessings flow. But never, ever stop thanking him for the greatest gift that he has offered us, eternal life through Jesus Christ, his son. Let's pray. Well, Father in heaven, we confess that we are often ungrateful and even grumblers and complainers. Make our hearts grateful. And may our lips praise you for every good gift that our Father gives. Thank you for cleansing undeserving lepers like us. Thank you, Jesus, for giving your life as a ransom to pay for our sins and to free us from your just condemnation. May the world around us see in us a humble people who are forever grateful for the cross, a people who have unwavering faith in a resurrection and an inheritance we have yet to see. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. Amen.